even today, around 30% of the code, for instance, at Microsoft, is being generated by AI, and their CEO, Satya Nadella, said that within like very short period of time, around 70% of the code will be generated by machines. Shifting the mindset, not only for marketing, but also for other departments.
Hi, and welcome to CMO Convo. Today we have with us Tomer Zucker, VP of Marketing, co-founder of Community Linkers, Humanite Community co-founder, speaker, and marketing thought leader. Tomer, so happy to have you as my guest.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so maybe before we can have a deep dive into our discussion today, can you maybe give a bit of a quick intro and to your background and experience?
Sure. Thank you again for inviting me. So I'm in the tech industry for the last almost like 25 years, long time. Started my journey in a small startup around text analytic, I assume they would call that today. And after this adventure, I moved to the corporation worlds and spent many years working for and with Microsoft and IBM and Amazon Web Services. And a few years, I went back to the startup world, which is for me, at least, the most exciting domain, and spent the recent years working with startups. Currently, the VP marketing of DID, one of the leading AI startups around AI avatars. I assume we will touch AI today and avatars. This is my gut feeling. And as you mentioned, by the way, I'm in the community world for many years. Established a few successful communities and some disasters as well, to be honest. But for the last few years, I'm really proud with the Linkers community. It's a LinkedIn based community, almost like 30,000 of members. And it all dedicated to LinkedIn and how to optimize our activation. And I'm really addicted to LinkedIn, to be honest. Deliver a lot of workshops and trainings around this platform. And for the last few months, also a co-founder of Humanai, which is a very special and dedicated community around AI. Mainly on the operational aspect, the ethical aspects, and HR aspects around the AI deployments. So this is, who am I?
Yeah, so you're very busy and you've done a lot in your career. So that is very, very impressive and interesting. And I think that also it's kind of like the top note of what's happening in the landscape at the moment. So of course, we're going to touch AI. Of course, we're going to talk about LinkedIn. And actually, I would love to start with the whole kind of like personal branding aspect. So as you've mentioned, you've established Linkers, which is a very nice community for everything around LinkedIn. And I would love to ask you, you know, like there are many different opinions about LinkedIn and especially about personal branding and advocating for yourself on LinkedIn. Some people even say that it's becoming a bit cringe. So I would love to ask for kind of like, what is your point of view and how should we be operating or LinkedIn or even thinking about it?
Yeah, it's really tricky. And by the way, I totally agree with you that for the last few months, even 2 years, to be honest, I think since COVID, something happened to the platform and the algorithm. Not all the members, LinkedIn members, really love it. But I hope that this platform will maintain its uniqueness and the type of dynamics and I would say like the type of content and discussions we have on LinkedIn for many years. I'm with LinkedIn since 2007, so many years. I have a very long perspective around the evolution of the platform. So first of all, personal branding is essential assets for each marketing managers and marketing leader. So there is no question if you need to establish one or not. It's a fact, okay? It's your assets. It's a weapon. It's your, I don't know, like a Swiss army knife. Okay. This is something that can create even unfair competitive advantage for your company and for yourself. The tricky part is how you can create that in the most efficient way and without going to those cringy, you know, landscapes.
Cringy domains.
definitely. And I, to be honest, I see many people. Do some mistakes once they are in the platform. And I can name some of them, if you would like
to. So maybe we can even talk about a bit of the mistakes of what we're saying, kind of like what not to do on LinkedIn. Yeah.
So I would say like the secret recipe, it's not very secret, but the secret recipe is a combination of three components. First of all, your profile. So it's your ID, you know, and you need to optimize that and make sure that it serves in the best manner your objectives. It can be your personal objectives, your career objectives, and your company's objectives. But the notion is that the profile need to work for you, and it's very important. The next component is your network, is the way you can leverage LinkedIn connections, first degree, second degree, and third degree, in order to stand out and echo the message and your objectives across the net. And the third component is your activation and engagement on LinkedIn, including your content strategy. Now, the mixture, the combination between profile, network, and content is the best combination in order to achieve real impact. Now, what I see with other people, not you, of course, is that many of them are, you know, forget that they don't speak, they don't need to speak about themselves. And this is a very common mistake. Too many people talking only about themselves, about the company, instead of offering a perspective and real added value to the other side, to the readers, to the followers, to the connections. And I assume that nobody's really love that someone sells to him, right? And so when you are trying to pitch too hard, you can create like a distance or a gap between you and your target audience, and you will not achieve your goals. So this is a very, very common mistake I see. People try to sell, try to promote themselves too hard, too much. Too intensive way, and yeah, it doesn't work, to be honest. The second things, and it's maybe relate what you mentioned about the type of dynamic and content on LinkedIn, is that people some of the people try to be too perfect. Okay, it's like perfections kill authenticity. And we are talking about authenticity for the last few years, and you know, people have this kind of perspective around LinkedIn that everything needs to be polished and perfect and, you know, whatever. It's not Instagram photos, okay? You know, working with companies, ad companies is tough. Working with startups and any kind of tech companies and non-tech companies is really tough, okay? We cross crises from our personal and professional lives. It's okay not to be perfect. Okay. In the end, the essence of LinkedIn for me is a platform to create and establish relationship. And you don't want to establish a relationship with a poster, with an image, right? With a billboard. No. You want to establish connection with real human beings. And it's okay. It's okay not to be perfect. And I think the third mistake I see is inconsistency. Okay, the algorithm is really tricky. So you try hard, post your articles or post whatever, and getting low number of likes or comments. It can be very frustrating. So many people like churn and in this point in time, and don't keep and sharing their voices across the platform. And this is a mistake. You don't have to post on a daily basis. But you need to show up. My recommendation, at least once, twice in a week. I publish on LinkedIn around 4 to 5 times a week. But you don't have to go into that, not on a daily basis even. But you need to be there and to be consistent.
Yeah. So thank you very much for sharing these mistakes. I do want to touch another point that we haven't discussed yet, which is, of course, AI. So oftentimes people are also creating content with AI or even commenting using AI. You've touched the point around authenticity and that the fact that it's too perfect. And By the way, also some people are, you know, like the like what I notice, especially as an expat living in Berlin, is that, you know, like we come from different cultures and hence English might not be our native tongue. And then you see like this really perfect, really polished, you know, type of comments or posts running like online. And it's like it's fine also to have like a different type of tone and style as well. So we can really detect this AI version of text. And I would love to ask you, I mean, how can we keep being authentic when everyone also use AI? And you know, like there's nowhere around it. Everyone use AI. I use AI, probably you use AI. I mean, like it's there for us to use, but like we do need to be critical thinkers as well. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a very good comment because what we have seen for the last 2 years is an explosion of content on LinkedIn, and most of it, to be honest, not very good.
Not exciting and also not
Very,
fresh, not
very
fresh.
generic, very boring, you know, whatever. So first of all, I'm feeling, you know, I feel confident to say, you know, someone still need us, human beings, okay? But yeah, someone out there still
Someone
need us. But to be honest, the tools are getting better and better on a daily basis. I think the trick is to know how to really work with them in order to make the most out of the tools. So you can train the model, whether you work with ChatGPT or Gemini or Perplexity or Claude, whatever, they are really good now, really good. And specifically, ChatGPT has this kind of history. So it remember us, it remember our style, our tone, our strengths and weaknesses and whatever. So you can retrieve the type of discussion in the past and train the model to write on your own style. You can create, for instance, custom GPTs for yourself on specific domains, and you can create this kind of, I would say, like native-oriented discussion with the chat. It really helped to improve the outcome of your writing. And still, I wouldn't like copy and paste anything that go out from the chat, you know, ChatGPT or other tools. Always, I'm trying to inject my own personality, you know, my own unique perspective, experience, humor, whatever. One of the reasons for that is that because I meet a lot of people in real life, I wouldn't want to create this kind of gap between my persona and my real personality, right? So if for instance, you mentioned like a very Polish English, but in real life, I'm not a native English speaker as well, as you can hear, people will meet you in real life and say, "Hey, this is not the person I, you know, discussed through LinkedIn for the last 2 years, right? He tried to fool me." So this kind of it's almost like a crisis around the trust between you and the other side. And as I mentioned, LinkedIn is all around relationship and trust and confidence. So try to be yourself. Definitely use the tools. I use that on a daily basis all the time for ideation, for editing, for translation, for writing, for everything. But maintain your own personality because this is the thing that will make you unique and different from other people.
100% agree. And also, I think that, you know, like coming from a different culture or bringing a different perspective is something very important, especially when it comes to marketing, creativity, having a different, you know, opinion. I mean, yeah, we should not just kind of like outsource ourselves to AI.
Yeah, definitely.
So I would love to ask you when it comes to AI and organization, right? Because what we've noticed is that AI started more, I think, as an adoption from the employee side, right? So more kind of like bottom up. And now we're noticing a shift where companies are starting to adopt that organizational kind of like cross, right? So it's becoming like top down. And human AI, your new community, I know you discuss quite largely around how should organizations start, you know, approaching this topic. Would you mind sharing a bit of this perspective?
I had the privilege to discuss around the AI implementation and adoption with many leaders, CEOs and founders and venture capitals and marketing managers and CMO and VP marketing. I'm really active in a lot of communities, AI communities and marketing communities. So first of all, I totally agree with you. I think we are above the hype curve. You know, looking back like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that every, you know, copywriter, designer, anyone test the tools and was, you know, super excited about creating videos and images and whatever, and avatars and such. Now we are above that. Okay, it's like the league of the big boys now. So when you reach to the organizational level, I would say for the enterprises or businesses, it's more than a hype. You are looking for ROI. You're looking for real business oriented advantages. Okay, the question is not if you know to use AI, is how to use AI in the best manner that will fit to your own business and organization. Currently, we have more than 35,000 of AI tools. It's crazy, right? It's so much noise. I totally agree. And you know, just think about the current marketing stack, all the automation tools, and you know, whatever, right? Already today, I have between 20 to 30 different tools. Now, add to that, to this celebration, all the AI stack. It's crazy. Nobody can manage and maintain such of orchestration, I would say. It's really tough. So when I speak with other companies, and also when I adopted and implemented AI within DID, my recommendation is to look on four layers, I would say. I call it SREAL. It's an acronym, R-E-A-L, sure. Okay? It will be easier to think about that in this manner. So R stands for relevance, okay? Try, first of all, to identify those areas when you have a concrete pain point or need, okay? For instance, if you are not in the, I don't know, like B2C business, and you are not going to produce videos for TikTok, whatever, don't spend your time looking for those cool, you know, gimmicky tools, right? So this is one example, but try to find those tools or systems or workflows that meet in the best manner your concrete needs. The second part is executive buy-in. It's not another tool that you purchase. Okay, it's not like a CRM. It's not like antivirus or whatever. Implementing AI is a game changer. And you need to think about it as a change management project, because it's not only touch the technological layer. It also meets some really tough questions around human beings, about our employees, about processes. And in order to implement such a project in the best way, you need to get the approval and commitment from your senior executives, because the changes can impact your products, your go-to-market, and your people. A stands for adoption and access, and it implies that you need to create this kind of very comprehensive implementation plan, including enablement, including proof of POCs or POVs, create quick wins in order to establish the trust and the confidence using the tools. And it's really important, okay? I know it's really tentating to run very fast and implement some tools because they're super sexy and such, but from the organizational level, you need to work in a very structured manner, okay? Because you don't want to fail yourself and your team. And the L stands for learning and loops. You need to ensure that you are achieving getting closer into your KPIs. For instance, if your KPIs are around cost reduction, because you would like to reduce the cost of production, or content production, videos, images, you know, text and such, measure that, okay? Use clocks, I don't know, whatever. Measure the time that currently use your team in order to create one blog post, and how you can save cost using one of the AI tools, or video, or images, or ebook, or whatever, okay? Think about market research. Using now capabilities like deep research, you can save a lot of time. We are talking about 100% of time saving, cost saving, shortening time to market, And it's really, really important in these times. So set the KPIs and track the KPIs and optimize. It's an iteration. It's not like one shop. It's a never-ending project, to be honest. You need to be ready for that. And going back to what I mentioned before, and you need to reflect that to your managers, to the higher senior managements, because it's not one silver bullet. It's an ongoing project to implement AI within the tool. And like the holy grail, for me at least, is stepping up from the personal productivity, you know, the one designer, the sole designer and such, into the department productivity, like marketing department, customer success department and such, and a move to the organizational productivity, okay, in order to avoid silos. It's all not only marketing in the loop. You need your colleagues from sales, your colleague from the product team, et cetera. Okay, so this is a very holistic perspective around the adopting AI in an organization.
So it sounds as if we almost need to have a different mindset in order to be able to implement it. And also that it sounds as if we need to educate ourselves and the organization. Now, I know that marketing, and probably you know that as well, is the most fast adopter of AI out of I think, the entire kind of like organizational units. And I think we all noticed that marketing has changed dramatically over the last few months. And we're starting to see a lot of, you know, kind of like consolidation into revenue, a lot of focus on go-to-market, a lot of focus of go-to-market with a combination of AI. And also a new kind of like creature, AI agents, that will be kind of like working alongside people in the marketing unit. And I would love to hear a perspective on that. Is that something that is very futuristic?
Nope.
Or is the adoption already happening?
No.
Have you already had like the implementation where you see that it's actually working? I mean, it almost feels if there's no playbook, but it is like in the making. So I would love to hear like your take on that.
Yeah, actually, you're totally right. There is no playbook. We are writing the playbook really now. Okay, so but you see early adopters and you see the first AI agent implementation organization. But I would like to say that yes, marketing, I think they are the early adopters of AI within the organization. But I see vast adoption of AI also with R&D development and such. Even today, around 30% of the code, for instance, at Microsoft, is being generated by AI. And their Satya Nadella said that within like very short period of time, around 70% of the code will be generated by machines. So it's shifting the mindset not only for marketing, but also for other department. But going back to marketing, so I have seen the first implementation of AI agents within the marketing departments. I think one of the first thing I see is those departments that create like a content machine. Okay, think about all the processes, all the frictions when you would like to create content. What if you can automate the entire process? Think about the process today, okay? Starting, let's say, from the strategy of the company, going down into product marketing, you know, around the messaging, around your unique value proposition, etc. There is a brief going to the content team, whatever. Now create me whatever, like a blog post, one pager, whatever, right? Then you started all the processes within the content and the brand department. You know, to create some draft, to generate some images, maybe some videos, a lot of irritation around approval, to meet the compliance, whatever. And then you can use these assets in an organic manner or in paid media, going to the growth or performance marketing department. Okay, there are a lot of steps and friction within this very fundamental process. Now you can use AI agents in order to automate many of the processes. Still, you can have like what we call human in the loop to monitor and to ensure that the quality of the asset meet your standards. But you can, even using one click, create all the process. And in the backend, a lot of agents work in order to do the research, identify all the personas and ICPs, to start working on the backbone of your main assets. And then, you know, you can slice and dice it into a lot of pieces, social media posts and images, whatever. You can align it into your brand book. Okay, so you can save a lot of time. And this is only one process. You can integrate this machine into your marketing automation, into your LMS, learning management system, and whatever. So it's endless. And I think the use of AI agent versus the plain automation, because we still have, like, you know, automation. I would like to name some name of the tools, is that those AI agents are based on LLMs, large language model. Okay. They are not script. Okay, they are intelligence. Okay, maybe it's inspiration to say intelligent, but they have like this of contextual understanding. And we are talking today about two buzzwords. We are talking about vibe marketing, which is like a subset of vibe coding. Okay, the vibe. Okay, just that, make a native dialogue with your agents, and they will know what to do. Okay, this is like the vibe. And currently, by the way, you're talking about vibe selling. I think vibe is going to be the word of 2025. But you also, we also talk about contextual marketing, okay? Because those AI agents and AI tool, based on deep learning and machine learning, they can understand native language and understand the context of your situation. And this give your content machine a different layer. For instance, if you'd like to create a promotional campaign, whatever, and the tools know that today's weather is going to be very sunny, maybe you'll use a different type of images in order to leverage real-time marketing. Okay, it's only like an example I came up with now. Okay, but it's something that is doable. And in the old world, yeah, like, you know, 3 years ago, you couldn't do that, or it will take you a lot of time and budget. Now you can do that. So what I've seen is that once you establish the trust between your organization, your marketing team, and the AI tools, you can trust them. Now you can go to the next level and try to automate some of the processes and keep your brain and common sense to the more heavy lifting tasks where human beings still have competitive advantage. Still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing. It sounds very interesting. And as much as it sounds futuristic, it also sounds very feasible and doable. I would love to ask, you know, so us as marketeers, we are in this transition period. What should we learn? What type of skills should we gain now with this whole shift? And what type of tools should we kind of like learn and acquire to use?
Yeah. So I'm going back to the real model, to the R, to the relevance. As I mentioned, there are so many tools. It's really tricky. I'm paying for so many tools, too much money, to be honest, because of my FOMO, you know, fearing of missing out. I want to try everything. And this is something, by the way, it's not very good. I know, I'm aware of that. But I'm really into those tools, try to challenge myself and try to learn new skills and also understand the quality of the tools, because there are some differences. But I'm starting from the scratch. What are your needs? Okay, invest your time in those tools that can generate or create for you most of the value. So for instance, if you are a designer, you know, invest time in learning tools that help you to design better. I don't know, like Midjourney or Canva AI or whatever. Or you know, videos, you know, for instance, VO3 of Google is crazy. Okay, start using those tools. You can integrate or use those tools next to the traditional tools like Premiere or whatever, but skill yourself, test your limits, understand what are the weaknesses of the machines. For instance, how you can ensure that there is a continuity with the figures, with your brand. There are some challenges over there, but you need to test that. And if you are, for instance, a product marketing manager, okay, use other tools that do a great market research. And create an arsenal of personas. And maybe you can analyze campaigns of competitors. So for instance, just an example. For instance, on a Google AI Studio, you can upload the link for YouTube video of a commercial of one of your competitors. And you can ask Google AI Studio to analyze the frames and the script of your competitors' videos and generate some insights out of that. Okay, think about the power you have. It's almost like free video analytics tool. How many insights you can generate and improve your own marketing or better understand your competitive positioning. So these are only, you know, very few examples that relates to our day-to-day work as marketing managers. And now you have like a complete set of marketing consultant, you know, that can surround you and you can work with them. And to be honest, going back to the question around AI agent, I believe that maybe within a year or two, each of the marketing manager will have their own AI agents group. Okay, think about like a rock band, an AI band that really knows about your expertise and your tone of voice and your needs, and it will be an asset of every marketer. Like your own personal website, you are going to have your own AI band.
So it kind of like sounds as if AI agents should be framed as a multiplier.
Definitely.
In a way. So for every person, for every marketeer, these are my multipliers. I can insert my tone and voice or the task that I would like kind of like to work on together, and then we can brainstorm. So
it
sounds very interesting.
I truly agree with you, because it's you know, we are thinking about how AI is going to replace us. Think about augmentation. How they can do us, make us a better marketing managers. Mm. And they can help us a lot.
Yeah. I think they already are, by the way.
Definitely.
I mean, but there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of fear also of the change of the landscape. And also with the fear, I also see new roles kind of like emerging. One of them, and you mentioned vibe selling, vibe growth marketing, but also there's the rise now of a new role called GTM engineers.
Yeah.
I think that Clay kind of like founded that new role. How does this look like, and how might this impact different roles in the marketing unit?
Yeah, so I think Clay is a good example. Of course, there are many other examples for that, but it seems that the transition to marketing to become more techie department in the organization, it's not only the art and the creative, you know, and the strategy. It's the data and it's the tech. And now you have, as I mentioned, a bigger tech to work with. I believe that the role of marketing operation will be changed. They will get into those tools more and more. Currently, in the AI agents and automation world, you can find two types of solutions. One of them is the package solution, like Clay. So they have the Clay agents, whatever, like built-in agents with the integration with their API, whatever. And then you have like a plain platform that you can create your customized agents, like Make, for instance, and other platform. For the customized platform, based on my experience, you will still need like a developers within your team. And what I starting to see, okay, it's not like a massive trend, but I've started to see the first seeds for that are marketing developers within the marketing department.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to rely on developers from your R&D team, right? You'll never get their attention. So you'll have your own marketing developers that will create and maintain your AI agents because you need to move very fast, right? And if you don't have this kind of resources or your needs are quite plain, you can go to those packaged solution like Clay and others that fits most of your needs.
Sounds really interesting. So it also catered to the question that I asked you earlier, what type of skills should we acquire? So maybe knowing how to develop or to engineer our own type of AI agent. I'm not saying that we should heavily be invested in that, but at least maybe some minimal understanding of how it works and how to design that. Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah.
Tomer, we are reaching the end of our episode.
Wow.
So I would love to, a lot of information and insights. I'm sure that our audience is like already kind of like blown. I would just love to ask you a final question, if we may. So now also with the creation of content and scale, and it seems as if we have now the ability to create everything at scale.
Uh-huh.
How do we still be able to make things fresh? How can we still make ourselves relevant and still keep the authenticity? Because when we produce so much content, when we produce so much videos, etc., who is there to actually consume that?
It's a good question. It's almost like there is a question that we generate content using AI, and AI reads our content. Think about SEO and now GEO, generative engine optimization.
Yes.
So do we still read something? I think our span of attention is getting shorter and shorter. I think now it's around 47 seconds or something like that, even less than that. So people are looking for a very short and concise content. They're looking for video-based content. It's easier now to create high quality video-based content, which is great. But I think the one thing that will not move away from us is the emotional layer of content. You still need to know how to write story. Yes, definitely you can use AI tools. You can train them to write in more emotional way. But the way we interact with content is going back to our evolution. We really love to tell story, to hear story, and to share with other stories. I think once you have your own unique perspective, and you write the most engaging format to share this story, whether it's text or video or music, whatever, you'll find a way to the hearts of your target audience. And it's because of the entrance barriers to create content are really low today. The next competition is not about creating content, is to create the best content there is, the most relevant one, the most emotional one, the most engaging one. And in order to do that, you really need to understand people, human beings, how they operate. And again, it's under disclaimers, we still have these kind of capabilities and the AI tools don't.
Tomer, thank you very, very much. It was really insightful. So for our listeners, where can we find you? Where can we follow you?
Definitely on LinkedIn. I'm there all the time. So you can just look for Tomer Zucker. And I'm there, and I'm sharing a lot of content around AI and LinkedIn and marketing, and I'd be super happy to engage with the audience.
Great. Thank you very much, Tomer. I appreciate our
Thank you,
conversation.
Michal.